To put you through it.
All right. And rather than for or against, I don't think that really applies so much as just having an interest. So if there's anyone who would like to speak, now's the time.
We have a bearded man with his hand up.
And Mr. Hudson, before you make your comments, please let me extend to you on behalf of the entire Planning and Zoning Commission and offices our condolences on the passing of your grandfather. He was a great man and will be sorely missed by everyone.
Yes.
You have our sympathy.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Oh, man, you had to start with that. Thank you. Christian Hudson, Lewis, Delaware. I think this is the first time I've ever been up to the podium, and it seems that developers were like really welcomed, and this is a very interesting thing for me, so thank you for having us and really seeking our input.
You're always welcome.
Well, the I guess unlike some folks, Commissioner Hopkins, the good and the bad news is about me, if you want to know what I think, just ask, and I'm happy to tell you, and not really care what the feedback is on the other side of that. But on this, on the stakeholder thing, you know, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Robertson, I'm glad that the county is finally taking the affordable housing issue up. I think there's a massive crisis, massive. I think it's taken way too damn long, darn long, to get here. Have not heard a single thing since I provided comment to LSA back in summer of 2019. So there's been no talk, as far as I know, about this ordinance or any other ordinance or anything. I thought this whole initiative was dead, so I was very pleased to hear that it's come back up again. So thanks for finally taking this up. I think if you don't do something, you're going to hear that M word a whole lot more. Affordable housing is a massive, massive issue for the county. Want to echo some of Commissioner Hopkins's comments. The population consortium numbers are absolutely laughable. Absolutely laughable. I think it's a horrible atrocity. And, you know, to the comprehensive land use plan in 2018, that's really where that all boiled to a head. And man, had the county in its infinite wisdom used other population growth estimates, we probably wouldn't be in this predicament like a lot of us in the development community warned back in that process in those 37 public hearings. Mr. Whitehouse, with all due respect, the AECOM plan, as it's shown here, at least for the 10-acre parcel, is completely unworkable. I don't believe AECOM is aware of fire marshal regulations. The buildings don't have drive aisles or fire lanes on all four sides of the buildings. I'm guessing, because it's not really shown about the stormwater management, but they probably don't know a whole lot about the groundwater table in Sussex County, at least down below the Indian River. There's also no turning radiuses in the parking lot for trucks. These are nice square right angle turns. There is violations of your own planning and zoning ordinances with regards to how many parking spaces can be put side by side, and in short, this is a very unbuildable plan. And that's with me having looked at it for about 30 seconds. This is why I would really, really advocate that there is some kind of task force or working group where the people on this list or any other list who have experience actually building this stuff are asked to provide some critical input and feedback on this ordinance. I guess some specific things I would like to point out are also the distinction. The ordinance says public sewer and water, I would say central sewer and water with respect to the, you know, good folks at Artesian and Todd.
Well, and that came from, we actually had that conversation. That came from a term that's used in Chapter 110 of the code. So that encompass all that.
But that at the, okay.
Yeah, no, it was one we thought about.
It just needs to be available to, publicly available. Yeah.
And I would suggest saying the limiting factors being the DART bus route, which I understand there's a concern there, and I agree with your feedback about saying that, or the future, mm-hmm. some kind of commitment to serve like the utilities do with the right. sewer and water on the DART side of things. But I would say the limiting factors being that DART with the exclusions and the sewer and water, not DART, sewer and water, and also growth zone, I think you're going to really cut out a lot of the county with that, because the state strategies for spending are absolutely, as you said, Mr. Robinson, you probably remember I was up here a couple years ago with a application before the Chapel Farm, in which case the intersection of Cave Neck Road and Route 1, DelDOT has in its budget committed for $25 or $30 million worth of infrastructure improvements. Our property bordered, our project bordered that infrastructure improvements on two sides, and yet the project was level four, which is no state spending. And we approached Mr. Edgel, his predecessor, about during that process about updating those maps to include what DelDOT already had in their budget, and they absolutely refused, which is phenomenal. So I would suggest that DelDOT or the state strategies maps aren't exactly the one to go with.
That's
for
why
sure.
we didn't go with them. No, 100% agree.
So there's a lot of flaws in that one. I didn't know if you guys have an estimate of how many numbers of housing units this will provide, whether it's total units in the project or total units of the affordable in any one of the, you know, percentage AMI categories. If there was any of that, you know, pro forma work done or impact analysis, that kind of a thing.
No, well, so there's, and I don't know, Brandon can maybe talk about that to some extent. We didn't go, because that would almost require you to predict how many parcels would utilize this, the acreage of them, what the density was. More, we wanted to try to maximize the density at the 12. And I know Mr. Hopkins talked about the 16, that one line. We went to the 12 because that's the maximum density that's permitted in Sussex County anywhere is right now. So we wanted to have some consistency with that. And as I said, with the 30, we went with just the 30 so we could maximize the number of units we'd get within one of those developments. But that was a long answer to your short question. We didn't go and say, okay, this will produce, or this is projected to produce X, Y, and Z, just because, like I said, you'd have to almost do a parcel by parcel analysis, you know, within those parameters.
Right. So
I would flip it around and say it's a whole lot more ambitious than what we have now. You know, that was one of the driving forces. What can we do that brings us more than the 30 we have currently and the one project we have?
Yeah. Well, I definitely appreciate that. I think, I guess the tenor of my comments is, you know, good, congratulations, too little, too late. We're in a crisis and this is a Band-Aid. I think this is a Band-Aid on like a really big gaping wound in a submarine hole that's way underwater. I mean, that's sort of the problem. You know, this report was done in 2019. Good Lord, the prices have increased since then. I was looking at a housing project that's been done, been open and building not too far from the Plantations Road and Route 24 intersection. I'm not going to name the names, but a large home builder in there. It's been an improved project for years and been you know, building these homes. The homes started out at 500,000, low 500,000s. They're now same homes, same building, floor plan and all that. The homes are now in the $800,000 range. And that's in about a 2-year period. Similar to what the 2-year period, 2.5-year period is since this home evaluation by LSA came out. I guess my point is the crisis is so much more acute than even this report talked about a few years ago. So when I'm saying too little, too late, I'm not criticizing the council or the commission on, you know, going in the right direction. I think they got to go in the right direction a heck of a lot faster and get ahead of this thing. We're all dealing with this inflation. We're all dealing with these shortages, whether in labor, materials, supplies, whatever it may be. Housing's going up and wages are pretty stagnant, and that's a toxic mix for our workforce. I've talked to a mess of employers. I'm on the board of the hospital. I talked to a mess of employers over there. It's a big issue for the hospital. It's a big issue for all the employers is housing their workforce. A lot of employers are actually now seeking to purchase housing to house their workforce, because you can't get anybody to work if they can't live anywhere near your stuff. And that's like, this is a crazy thing. I remember hearing stories of company towns, you know, up in Pennsylvania and things, and how bad that was. Well, that's where we're headed if we don't solve this problem. So I guess I like the idea of the by right, because, you know, well, you guys are appointed, so I don't have to say with all due respect, but, you know, politicians have to get reelected, right?
So,
and the hard problem is...
You're absolutely right about that. Yeah. The by right thing here is the biggest piece of this, and I agree with you that this is just one thing that needs to be done. That's the whole thing. This ordinance tonight is not intended to answer the housing problem in Sussex County. It's intended to deal with this one piece of it. You're right. We have a gaping 3 foot wide wound. This piece is going to fix maybe about 6 inches of it. Okay, now we got to figure out how to get the rest of it. So, but for right now, we need to kind of get this piece right, trying to get this piece right. Your comments about the site plan are very well taken, and I'm really hope that we study that a little bit further, because that is a concern too when you look at it. Have we really considered the impact of the fire marshal, the impact of some of our own regulations and so on? I mean, I know that works, and if we have, then okay. But that's something we definitely need to find out about. My question for you is, do you have any thoughts about if this is too little too late, what would be some more on time? You know, what would be the way to fix this to make this better?
Sure. So your bulk bulk standards,
but so you think maybe the some of those standards are a little too stringent, the 50% open space and the 100-foot buffer.
It's almost like discriminating against poor people. We're making them have a 100-foot buffer, but we don't make single family housing have a 100-foot buffer, right? Like, why? Okay. You know, you want density, why take away land? You know, for the density, if you're limiting where this can go, you're making it by right, why not maximize that density, right? If it's specifically located next to or near, adjacent to, whatever it may be, the DART bus, you know, the public transportation, major highway corridors, public sewer and water, that should be the very densest stuff in the county, right? So why the big buffers and things like that? The height requirement, oh my God, that's a huge problem for density. You can't actually build 12 units to the acre, even if you have C1, you know, old school C1 where it's grandfathered in. You can't actually build that with all the different setbacks and, like I said, turning radiuses and so on and so forth. So I think there needs to be, you know, there needs to be, in my mind, a small government solution to this. Like, instead of prescribing, and I saw in there where they expanded the building instead of whatever 165 to 210 foot wide, and, you know, the building dimensions. But does the county actually care what the building shape is, or should they? Right? Shouldn't that be the developer and the people who live there deciding if they want to live in a circular building or a triangular building or a rectangular building?
Well, yeah, well, this doesn't address that. It increased the height from 42 to 52, you know, at four stories. Some of that actually in the code, that's driven by fire marshal requirements. You know,
well, But I guess my point is...
But that's not part of this, that's just generally...
But instead of saying that the building can only be 210, why not just take it as a square footage? Whatever the 210 times whatever the, you know, the other one was, and I forget the dimension.
And that, just so you all know, what we're talking about applies to any multifamily.
Correct.
I mean, it's a larger issue than just this one.
The bulk requirements have been the largest limiting factor, and that's why almost all of apartment buildings in Sussex County look like every other apartment building in Sussex County. It's because that design is maxed out, and that's the max that you're allowed to do in the code.
That's true.
And in order to keep those things efficient to build, you have exterior corridors instead of interior corridors, which limits things like elevators, which limits, you know, your ADA issues and things like that, your accessibility for folks who are mobility compromised. So there's a lot of things in the bulk standards, height limit, for example. I loved your comment about the pitched roof. I just built a hotel, 42-foot on the nose. I have to tell you, I had to put HVAC ducts underground to meet that code. Well, that's just silly, right? Like, there's a lot of things like that that are just silly. The peak on the roof makes a whole lot more sense. It gives you more design flexibility and allows your buildings to look much better instead of an army barracks.
Not to mention, gets the water off your roof.
Yeah, and out of your HVAC ducts. I can't tell you how much more expensive that makes it, right? So, and if I'm doing that on a building, right, it's one thing on the hotel, it's, you know, tourists coming in, so you can charge them a little bit more. But if you're doing that on somebody's house, that automatically makes it more expensive and less affordable, right? And so there's a lot of things in the code that are technical in nature that I'm happy to go through, and this is why I started out with, you know, look, there should be a task force. The men and women on this, you know, committee did some pretty good work. The LSA did some really good comments in here. And, you know, the one comment was that I stuck out, it was page 30. I'll read a quote, "The restrictive land use and zoning code in Sussex County." Let me read that again, because, you know, in the paper, you guys get a bad reputation, at least in the Gazette, about being too, you know, growth-oriented, right? Let me read this again. So the restrictive land use and zoning code in Sussex County, born out of the efforts to reduce traffic congestion, promote environmental stewardship, preserve the county's agricultural landscape, and/or reduce strain on infrastructure, is setting rules and regulation that place limits on the number and type of housing units that can be built in areas of the county that have been designated for growth. So in other words, you know, even where you're in the growth zone, you're still limited by what you can do, and therefore the affordability is impacted. While well-intentioned, the goes on, this is the home report. While well-intentioned, the zoning code is inadvertently placing upward pressure on housing prices and exacerbating the same policies the restrictions are working to address. Low-density, single-use developments increase traffic congestion, lengthy commutes to work, cost of installing new infrastructure, and the degradation of even more land from sprawling development. Basically, our policies, because of the 12, because of the non-buy rate nature and the lack of inventory of other zonings, encourages sprawl. Because frankly, it's easier for me to come up here as a developer and say, hey, here's a buy right development at 1.3 units to the acre, which I know I'll make money at, and you can't tell me no, right? As opposed to the storm I get when I come in with Chapel Farm and I wait 3 years before a public hearing, and I come out at the very end of it with a very unbelievably lucky, I got an approval. Holy cow, it's a rezoning, holy cow, and 10.4 units to the acre, which is the densest that this august body has approved in 20 years. Think about what I just said. This report, like Mr. Hopkins is saying, and you guys heard the debate, and I'm not smart enough to figure out what it was, 12 units, 16 units to the acre, but either way, the minimum that they're saying in this report that you guys need is 12 units to the acre to solve this at like 1,500 units a year. And which is almost 30% of what you were saying Sussex County built last year. I mean, that's a phenomenal, phenomenal number that we have to hit. So, I mean, thank you very much for going, you know, forward with this. I think it's taken a long time. I don't think it's anywhere near enough, but that buy right is absolutely the key to this, because the unfortunate reality is politicians need to get reelected every 2 to 4 years, right? And it's very hard to say, you know, that development over there should be 12 units to the acre for affordability, and we're putting a bunch of people in here who the rich folks next door don't want to say, because they're all going to work to throw the bums out, so to speak, right? And that's a very big disservice to our county, and it's causing our children, to your point, a heck of a crisis. You know, they're not making enough money to afford $800,000 houses in Lewis and Robeth, and that's a big thing. I got four of them myself, and I hope they stay around. But so thank you for letting me appreciate you coming by.
Tell all your friends about this. Tell them about there's going to be another hearing with Sussex County Council, so we want all them to show up too.
Be happy to. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Who?
I would just say to Mr. Hudson brings up some good points. You know. I don't mean this is, like I said before, this is not the end of this discussion.
No.
You know, and there may be other things we need to address in the zoning code, you know, because that does talk about there being limiting factors across the board in the zoning code,
right.
You know.
Right.
But one of the things, whatever the end product of this is, let's try to get it through, because I don't want to, I know how rewriting a zoning code goes, and that's years, not months.
Well,
you know, I'm not to mention what you say, but I don't want to hold something like this up because of that.
Well,
you know, we've got that was written in 1972 or three. A lot of that stuff, you know, so it just doesn't necessarily fit.
Well,
today.
And that this does not have to wait for that to be done.
Right.
We can do this, and still, the thing is, we don't want to do this. Congratulate ourselves and go back to sleep.
Yeah.
We want to do this and go on to the next thing that needs to be done and do it quicker than soon. And that's something I think everybody agrees that we need to do.
And one other point I'll make, just so that there's no confusion on this or concern, you know, when we were coming up with this ordinance, Weedman and staff, you know, the county folks, the important thing was, what's the density and is it going to be permitted? You know, like the 100-foot that we're talking about, that's not going to make or break this ordinance. You know, that sort of thing. You know, or the 50% open space. That, you know, that's a component of it. But those are the kinds of things that were, I don't want to say side issues, but certainly less important than providing the housing at the density and getting it done so it's one-stop shopping or two stops because you got preliminary and final and you're through, you know.
I agree with that. I do want to say, though, that those things do have an impact, though, and if there could be some reconsideration.
Oh, that's my point, exactly.
I think we should reconsider some of that because they will become the limiting factors that are in this ordinance. Just like the other things that we've mentioned. So, okay, who's next? Who else would like to speak? Yes, sir.
Let everybody speak at once.
While she's coming up.
Yes. Mr. Hudson's a tough act to follow.
Was there any input from the fire marshal ordinance?
So this was a spatial concept. So it did look at stormwater and it did look at like separation distances and it did look at basically some of the car parking standards. We haven't reviewed it like a site plan because it's a spatial drawing, but it didn't go as far.
I'm in the whole ordinance. I mean, I just having been involved with building and the fire marshal and things like that, you get one fire marshal and they tell you this, you get the next one and they tell you something different. So I didn't know if they were brought in on this and you said, hey, what's something you're going to agree to that we can just put in here and be done?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. I just wondered, you know, I mean, if we're going to do something, let's try to get it.
I agree. I get it. Yes, ma'am, you are.
Hi, my name is Katie Millard. I live at 17565 Venables Drive in Lewis, Delaware.
Okay.
I am here to support this ordinance. I feel like this is, I'm in a hard position because that's a hard act to follow, but I just wanted to lend my support also to the buy right aspect and also give more of a little bit of a personal face to this ordinance. I work here in Sussex County. I actually work with Ben Gilmore. I work at Habitat for Humanity. And just yesterday, I had to give up my apartment because I could not afford it anymore. I had to move back in with my parents, and I am trying to find a new apartment, and it is very difficult. So I just wanted to make sure that you guys knew how important this ordinance was, and that it really affects a lot of people here in Sussex County. And I really hope that we make this the most impactful ordinance that we can to make sure that we get the most affordable units that we can in Sussex County.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Gosh. Okay, who's next?
Since Katie just mentioned my name, Kevin Gilmore with Sussex County Habitat for Humanity. And just really wanted to come out to support the ordinance, and but really to show how enthusiastic I am to see this conversation. So for 18 years, I've been addressing affordable housing in Sussex County. I've never seen this level of conversation ever. And just you all and the county and the staff to keep that going. And the comments have been really about the issue, about how do we get to the issue. And this is a huge step forward in the right direction. I was at, my name's on that document somewhere, I was at those early hearings, the early conversation pieces, and the big pieces shine right through in this ordinance. And that's what you keep bringing up, is the by right and the density. And so they were in those meetings 3 years ago with LSA, and they've come through in this. And, I don't focus in on rental, so I'm not a developer that does that, but I do focus on affordable home ownership, which hopefully I'll be here supporting something else in the future around that. And in this course of this conversation, I do have to say that I appreciate some of your comments, Mr. Wheatley, around DART and around smaller projects and seeing if other things could be done to invite that more in. So I just wanted to lend our support to this ordinance, and thank you for all the work that you do.
Thank you.
I want to put in a plug for Mr. Gilmore, because he appears at county council all the time. Why don't you tell a little bit about, and so you all might not have heard from him, tell us a little bit about the Habitat, what they're doing, how many houses they've got in any given year going. It's a pretty good scale.
Relative to the problem, it's not.
Well, no, but I mean for a small,
I appreciate that.
Habitat organization, relatively small.
We built over 160 affordable homes in Sussex County. Now it's taken us 30 years to do that, and most of them in the past 15 years. We build about 10 or 12 affordable units a year, and there are some creative ways that we finance it to make it affordable to the home buyer. So we maintain the values in the community, but the payments become affordable to the home buyer. And there's some other ideas that we could explore around how to make the unit affordable, right? And not not just that the families have a windfall going forward, and try to look at the other large investments from our government, I think, is where that would come from. I'm deviating a little bit. So we built 160 houses in Sussex County. We've actually launched some really impressive programs in the past couple years to keep people in their houses. So there's an aging population, a fixed income, that can't always do the minor repairs that stop houses from getting worse. So last year alone, we did 100 repairs to 100 units to help keep people in their houses, everything from insulated skirting around manufactured homes to improve energy efficiency, to simple things like grab bars and tub cuts and ramps and improved windows. And so that's been a growing aspect of what we do, to say we're not just going to build our way out of this affordable housing crisis, not at 10 or 12 houses a year, but what can we do in this public forum? We've had over 30,000 volunteers work building on houses here in Sussex County. What can we use to use that voice to help improve housing conditions, even if we're not doing it ourselves? But we've had support from county council for many years. And just appreciate working with Brandy and her team. We tag team on a lot of projects to help help the community.
And the towns, you're active in just about every town in Sussex County too.
In one way or another, and we've been doing a lot in some of our, here in Georgetown and Seaford and Laurel, where we focused in on blocks. And if you can take five houses on a block that has eight houses and improve five of them, maybe tear down some and build new, or renovate ones that are there, then we see the market forces starting to take it from there, and people say, hey, this isn't a bad place to invest some money.
Made a big difference in Laurel. I can tell you that. It's made a big difference in Laurel.
And we're still going.
Yep. We sure are.
We sure are.
Thank you for your good works.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks,
thank you,
Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin. Okay, who's next?
You're up. Robert Mitchell, Greenwood, Delaware, but I'm a mortgage banker for the last 30 years. And I saw that this was on affordable housing. It's got a lot of press here lately with different parts of it. This, which as Christian said, is certainly a great move forward to trying to do something like this. But as he also said, unfortunately, this report came out in 2019, and the last 2 years have the curve was straight up. We tried to flatten it. It's only going to take 2 weeks at first. But anyway, the curve for housing went straight up for the need for it because of the price of homes. In the last 3 years, we've issued 15,000 new unit building permits, give or take, right? Do we know what the average price was for those homes that were issued?
We would know what they were quoted and estimated for cost purposes, but not what the price was.
Selling price.
We don't collect data on price. So.
But is there an average cost basis? Right, because that's what you tax on. But what is it?
I think once you factor in manufactured homes, it's less. It's actually approximately for building permit purposes. It's under $200,000 on average if you take all those units, because the manufactured homes bring down the price of the larger homes. So say 200 as a ballpark number. So.
And that doesn't include the land.
No, that's just a unit.
That's building permits.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So of course it doesn't include builder's profit and what they're going to sell it for. My point being is that 2.5 years ago, we recognized we had a problem with affordable housing. And over the last 3 years, we've issued 15,000 building permits, a vast majority of them, for unaffordable housing, for the majority of these people here. I looked at the report as well. When you talk about 12 units, the report establishes that more as a minimum to hit there. And when you look at that, I'm not a builder, I'm certainly not Christian Hudson, but it does talk about the 100-foot, on each side as a buffer. And so if you have a 9-acre parcel, did anyone do the math to find out how much acreage you could actually use?
It's, 10 acres, we did that on this, nine, but yeah.
How much on 10?
12, we've got 12 units an acre.
No,
I understand what you're saying.
How much land are you able to actually use?
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I don't know that that's a calculation that
anyone... It's less than 50%.
Has actually.
Yeah, well, because there would be the 50% open space.
Well, 50% open space, you're already out.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So...
And the 50% open space and the 100 foot are the same, so it's not 100 feet that's separate from the 50%.
The setback, setback area.
I didn't know.
But so your number you're looking at is the 50% open space. So yeah, your 9-acre piece, you really have 4.5.
Right. No, I have a little less than that. So it's actually more open space than what you, because of the 100 foot. So I don't know how.
Well, not necessarily, but
the 100 foot counts as open space.
Yeah, that.
Right now, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But just that 100 foot on a 9-acre parcel is almost 5 acres of open space.
Okay.
I mean, on a perfect,
yeah, no, that's, I mean, you can see that from this one, right?
On a perfectly
square plot.
I mean, these are the kind of things you got to look at, because how many parcels are available? Did we look at that? Like, how many? If this got approved tonight, and you had builders in here who said, "I want to do it,"
we did. We looked at that. We actually.
What'd you get? Number of units, give or take.
Well, we couldn't do number of units because I don't think we couldn't.
Correct. So we did undertake an initial analysis of how many parcels, but parcels can be subdivided. I actually don't have that slide in front of me, but in our very initial analysis, we were looking at other areas of the county that are undeveloped or developed in proximity to transit. We actually,
right, right.
Yeah, so there is a number out there. So it's
know what it is?
And it's more than zero. So.
Yeah.
Let's hope so. Otherwise, this was a complete
waste. Yeah, right. So, no, because we looked at undeveloped properties that fit all that criteria, and it lit it up. So,
obviously, you have a number of parcels, but they could be 5-acre parcels. They could be 55-acre parcels.
Yeah, right.
What about as far as acreage? Like, if we could bury it down to say, if we could maximize what we could have, how many of these things could we build at 12 units per acre?
So, there is the capability to calculate that. Based on the budget, but I just don't have that number.
But if we didn't do it.
No, we've got it. So we've got what the GIS mapping that the county has. We have the acreage. It's just a matter of plugging in the formula to calculate, and it'll tell us right what it is.
But did we do it?
We did the exercise that determined the locations.
We had 2.5 years to do it.
There's a lot of work that went into it.
Okay, I agree. Yeah, okay. I got you.
What I'm saying you're talking to Bob. Issue, you're talking to the wrong people. Okay. You have an issue about the time frame and all that. That's not this group here. That's the other group, the Tuesday group. You come in and raise king with them about how long stuff is taken, but not these guys. These are not the guys. Okay. But your point's well taken.
But we're coming here with an ordinance saying let's pass this because this is not going to solve all our problems. It's not government's job to solve all problems. But we don't not even know what percentage, even at 30%, how many units we're going to end up with. And I think that's important to at least be able to say,
If that's a number that can be calculated with some accuracy, we should do it. Absolutely.
So.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Can I pose a question back, though? So, assuming it's not zero, because we know it's not going to be, is your suggestion we hold up this to know what that number is? Because everybody's been saying it's taken a long time. I guess I'm struggling with why should we continue to delay it more? You know, unless there's substantive reasons to do so, which there may be.
Because the market's going to answer some of that question. Because you can, you know, some of it's a judgment call. Some of it is going to be this land might technically meet the requirement, but it isn't anywhere somebody wants to build. Or there may be geological issues that you can't tell.
Gotcha.
You know, you might have it. You might be able to calculate it, but you might find that this particular area you're looking at, if you go walk out there, it's swampy land, or it's low, or it's wetlands.
Maybe worth a whole lot more if you developed it in a different way.
Exactly.
So you're taking an assumption that development is going to work.
I get the desire to have the answer to the question. I just don't know how valuable the information really
because
is.
Because I think it would give you a goal that says, does this ordinance give us a target number of homes that we could do for affordable housing at, and this is what this is leading up to, is 12 the number? Because if you ask the people who had to move out of their house whether or not that open space and having a 100-foot right-of-way, 100-foot buffer zone between her and the neighbor is more important so that we can keep 12 units per acre, what about 15? I mean, you know, 16. That's
16 is mentioned in a report. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's my point is how many would we have at 12 versus approximately? I know it's greater than zero. And I'm not beating anybody up. I'm just saying, come on, guys. This is big. Before you put it in an ordinance, and we don't know whether the builders are going to flock to it, how many more would come if it was 16? That's my point. Is where did we come up with the 12? Where did we get a number of how many this could actually?
Well, no. So the 12 came from the LSA report. That was the one thing.
It said minimum 12 for 80%.
Yeah, no. It said 12, and then like I said before, we also had 12 as our maximum density in Sussex County. So this is just the background for it. Because I said we draft the ordinance, introduce it, and get public comment on what's right. Then we wanted to make sure that you could build it, subject to the comments we've heard before. So we went through this exercise of 10 acres, and then the other big one. And then we also did map out, you know, looking at the comp plan, looking at the county's GIS system that can pull out what's vacant properties, you know, along these roadways where the dart routes are and the other criteria. And do we have, you know, properties that would fit these criteria?
Yeah,
and we did that.
Because
your point's well taken. We didn't, for all those reasons, we didn't want to do an exercise where there was not a single property or not enough properties that could utilize it, you know.
Right.
So.
The second half of my reason for being here has to do, and this might not even be, although I saw it was affordable housing, I saw Brandy was going to be here. And the program that came out, and perhaps I should address this to Brandy or your group, for the grant money.
You got to talk this way because Mike's going to pick it up.
Well, talk to us.
Okay, so this is a program that's been in the newspapers and everything. It was sent to me last month. You know, would you guys get behind this as a lender for the $10,000, $20,000, or $30,000 grant, depending on the income? And in all the articles that I saw, and in everything was written up, it said that there was $6.8 million. And it was insinuated, or at least when you read the article, the average person, or maybe I think on average, would have assumed that there was like $6.8 million in there.
So I've been, you know, this is my job, so what I do is help people buy homes. So I've been referring people to this program, only to find out yesterday that there's only $650,000 allocated.
Just real quick, I hate to be the bad guy, but we're going to get in trouble under FOIA if we talk about something that's not on the agenda. That's actually separate from the ordinance.
It is separate from the ordinance. I just saw that.
But we can't just because of what the state says about how we do meetings. So I'm not trying to cut you off. That's good conversation.
It's really good conversation that needs to take place. What I would like to do, though, is give you another opportunity to comment anything about this specific ordinance that you think might make it better or different.
Well, I think Christian had a good point, Mr. Hudson, when he said about, you know, we got 100-foot, we're keeping this 100-foot barrier buffer zone, excuse me. But we don't require it for more expensive, more exclusive.
So you think maybe a smaller buffer and maybe a lower percentage of open space might be good?
I think it would be. I think if that would enable you to build more units, absolutely. I mean, I think you're asking this to be built in a high-density area, but yet we're reducing this density and we're forcing 50%.
Well, it's
we're not reducing it.
Yeah, we're not. Not and the other thing is, I just want to correct one thing. It's the reason for that there being those design criteria is because it's not in a high density area. I mean, this would be a permitted use in AR1, which permits only 2 units an acre.
It's got to be within a dark bus. It's got to be within city or public sewer. So yeah. I mean, you've got. It's going to be in a more dense. There's very few farms that meet all that.
As a practical matter.
But they're residential at 2 units an acre. That's the thing. Right. That's our base density in AR. So, you know, we do have separation requirements for, you know, like if you're residential next to commercial, for example. You know, there's different setbacks and that sort of thing. So, you know, we were looking because there's a difference in density. That was the reason for that. But as I said, those numbers were a starting point, you know, and I think you can look at one of two ways, really. You can say, all right, well, we can reduce the 50% or the 100 feet. Does that ensure that you get the 12 units an acre? That may be one point. Or does it just give you a better design flexibility to build a better project, which is also a good point, you know? So I think those are valid statements and something that we can look at. I mean, let me ask it another way. What's the number you think works for either one of those?
Well, I was hoping we had sort of a estimate of acreage.
Well, no, let me back up. What's the number that?
Kind of back into that number.
What's the separation distance number? Is it?
Oh.
And what's the open space number? Do you have? I mean, what's your opinion on that?
I just think 100 feet is a lot when you're on every side. Mm-hmm. That's every side, right?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Out here is a road. You're 100 feet from the road. Right. Over there is development. I mean, it's every side. I mean, do you really need all that? Yeah. I don't necessarily think you do, particularly because you don't. It's not required on your projects. Yeah. So it kind of seemed like
right.
I read through it, but it seemed like to me, to somebody who's just maybe a little bit more familiar with it than the average person, is this is what we need. This is what we want. This is how we're going to protect certain areas of our county from this being built. That's what it looked like to me.
I would describe it a different way. It was that.
I disagree with that.
One of the things, though,
this ordinance isn't being put through to say we don't want to do it.
Right. But what you don't want to do is say, hey, here's what it all is. But in reality, it's going to be either extremely difficult or pushing impossible to actually pull off according to what's in here. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, and so the other part of that equation, and I'm not with you, just so everybody understands, is that we went up too, because it's 42 feet. We added an extra story and a pitched roof. So the thought was, if you could go up, you could bring it in more, you know, and have, you know, more of a cluster design.
Can I say something to that point? I'm going to play the bad guy here, because if you have a neighborhood right next door that are single story or even double two story, and then you have a 52-foot building. We just went through this with the town of Bethany, it was county. Those people likely could see through their homes, you know, and their windows, and people testified they had a problem with that, and I get that. So maybe 100 is too much, but there does need to be some consideration for the communities that are already there too. To protect everybody.
And the RPC ordinance of our code talks about that. There's supposed to be an appropriate transition from single family low density to higher density that allow an RPC. So the number may not be right, but the thought was, rather than have it undefined, you know, and then somebody comes in with a site plan and the commission's like, well, I think it's 50 or I think it's 75 or 100 or whatever. Let's just say what it is.
Make a decision.
Just so you got it, you go, you know. So, and maybe it's not 100 feet, but if we say what it is, you come in with a site plan, you roll.
Could you make it so that it was 100 feet,
but it can't be 10
to residential, but to the highway, maybe you don't need that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yep.
So that you can get more projects.
So flexibility with, and I agree with that completely.
As Mr. Hopkins pointed out about an hour ago,
I was trying to get to 8:15. No,
just stop.
I was trying to get to 8:15.
Just stop.
Oh,
just stop.
The graph's on.
Just stop. The devil's in the details.
Absolutely.
And I'm gonna butt in and just say I think 50 feet is enough.
I agree.
All right. I think 50 is enough. I think 100 is too much.
Wow. Thanks, Paul.
So I think that's all right. We're all good here. If you would prefer that I call you Mr. Mitchell, I will. There's a couple other things I could call you, but you probably don't want me to in a public forum.
You wouldn't be the first.
No, I'm not talking about that. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. That's okay. All right. Thank you very
Thanks.
Much.
Have a
Thank
good
you. Day. Thanks for coming out.
I have a quick question.
And for your patience since like 5 o'clock.
Does the county require what an apartment is? Do they have an outline? Like, I mean, because I was at the screen, there's like, well, why aren't we doing dorm style? So, you know, people have their own room maybe, but they're sharing the bathroom and they're sharing the kitchen. Are we allowed to do things like that?
No, it's a dwelling unit.
Would that be considered a dwelling unit, though, where they sleep? What's considered the sleep or the kitchen makes the dwelling unit?
There's a definition of what a dwelling is based on the number of related or unrelated individuals. So that's already in code. That's already in 115. So if you had 8 people sharing single cooking facilities who are unrelated, that would be outside the definition of the dwelling. So again, we're getting into the multifamily, but it's those definitions would not be changed by this. So,
because I mean, that would be something that could actually cut into this problem.
Am I just saying, closing? It's a lot of help.
We're still going to have the phone. Don't forget. So.
I want y'all to know that I want it to be successful.
Oh, absolutely.
We all do.
And that's I want to make sure the wheels are on the car before we drop the flag.
And that's why we're here talking about it. That's why we have a public hearing. And I'm serious about getting the word out to people, because that's the thing that, you know, concerns me a little bit tonight with no more folks than we had to show up. I want to make sure people know about it. Fortunately, there's another bite at the apple.
Story of my life.
You know?
Starting to race before I had all 4 tires screwed on tight. You know. I've been there so many times.
Make sure people know. Is there anyone else left in the room?
Screwed on tight with you.
Here, hold on, people. Is there anyone else left in the room who would like to speak on this ordinance? Okay, operator. Is there anyone standing by
that's awake
who would like to speak in regard to the ordinance before us? I'm not reading the whole thing again.
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, dial 5-star. Again, if there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star.
All right, Mr. Wheatley, I think we're good.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Anyone on the commission have any other further questions or comments, except for Mr. Hopkins? Anyone else?
No problem.
All right. Okay. We'll close the public hearing. Thank all of you who sat here for so long to get for your opportunity to speak. You're welcome to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we actually make a decision on this tonight. But we thank you for your participation. And that completes our agenda. So